Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector in Chicago, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. The Expert Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. The Radio Pet Lady Network is partnered with my other enterprise, the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the remarkable bond between dogs and their people. I will be taking the festival across the United States, including Washington, D.C., East Hampton, New York, Rochester, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Phoenix. I hope to see you in New York City at the second annual Dog Film Festival on October 15th. You can find more information at dogfilmfestival.com. This show is brought to you with the generous support of Halo, holistic natural dog and cat foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. Their new grain-free recipes, like Vigor, give you more healthy choices for your pet's dinner, while Daily Greens bring vitamins and digestive enzymes into your dog's diet. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by giving donations to shelters through freekibble.com for pets awaiting a forever home. Dr. Donna, I have a brain teaser for you. What is an immune-mediated disease? What happens when someone's dog is deathly ill for in the ICU, and they say is, well, it was an immune-mediated disease? It's like, what? What is that?
What is that?
What is that?
So the immune system is like this nebulous thing in your body that it's – I'm going to just use some human analogies. You are a person who has, you know, as an adult, you've had your flu shots, you've had a lot of exposure to infectious disease over the years, and say that your significant other sneezes in your face because he is sick, and you've been exposed all of a sudden to the flu or to some horrible whooping cough that he has or whatever is
right.
Going on. There are little particles that float around in your body, part of the immune system. They're antibodies. There are little tiny antibodies that float in your bloodstream that all of a sudden come up to your nose and your throat and like, oh, wow, I know what that, but that's a virus and we need to kill that right now. So the antibodies glom onto the infectious particle, onto the virus, onto whatever is coming into your body, any foreign invader. The antibodies attack it and then start to chew it up and destroy it. And it takes it back to like your liver and your spleen and your lymph nodes, and the immune system is active in that way. It's always surveilling your body with antibodies. And as adults, we are, you know, we have lots and lots of antibodies because we've come into contact with a lot of infectious diseases over our years.
Right, right.
So that is what the immune system does. The immune system lives in your bloodstream, in your bone marrow, in your liver, in your spleen, the lymph nodes in your body. That's primarily, those are the lymph organs. And so those are the lymph organs that also push out all these antibodies. And then there are cells that make up your immune system too. Inside those organs, like the liver and spleen and lymph nodes, you have little cells that the antibodies can come back to and like, you know, and that's where like the active destruction of these foreign invaders happens. So that's kind of like an overview of the immune system.
So if you think of the immune system like an anthill, something that we've all actually seen and watched. So these immune receptors, cells, guardians, they would go and get the bad thing, and then they would carry it back to another area where another kind of cell gets rid of it, cleans it up.
That's exactly right.
I'll be darned. I didn't realize that. I thought it just killed off the dead cells, and then they had to – I never thought of what happened to the debris. Okay, got it.
So let's take that a step further. Dogs that develop immune disease, what happens is for some reason there is a trigger – and the dog's body thinks that it has a foreign invader. And it sends out the antibodies, and the antibodies start dragging back healthy red blood cells.
Oh, no.
Healthy platelets.
No.
Healthy kidney tissue, whatever it is, and it starts destroying them. And so this is, many people have heard of immune-mediated hemolytic anemia.
That's what Dr. Patrick Mahaney's dog Cardiff has.
Right. So hemolytic anemia, what's happening is there is some sort of trigger. The dog's immune system says, holy cow, there's an invader going on, but there's no invader. The dog's immune system, though, targets the red blood cells, and they start to destroy them.
Wow.
Okay. Most of the destruction usually happens inside the spleen, inside the liver. So the spleen gets really big and it's really gnarly and, you know, busy working it.
Wow.
But there are some instances, you know, where they obviously it can be a fatal disorder. Or it can happen to the platelets, which are the blood clotting cell, the immune mediated thrombocytopenia, ITP, that some people have talked about. These actually are quite common. We see these disorders all the time. And similar to, have you heard of lupus in people?
Sure.
So lupus is an immune-mediated disorder where the middle-aged female, for some reason, there's a trigger and her immune system turns on and all of a sudden she's attacking her skin, her kidneys, her lungs. The immune system can destroy any organ it wants to. In dogs, the most common, they can get lupus, but that's a lot less common than it is in people. In dogs, they tend to have the red blood cells attacked, the platelets, kidneys can be attacked. Those are the most common organ systems that we see.
And what would the symptoms be? How would you know that your dog, or did they get weak?
The most common symptom is all of a sudden if you developed acute anemia, lethargic, you don't want to eat, you can't hardly stand up, and if you look at the gums, they're pale. In the case of the blood clotting cells, the platelets being low, those dogs bleed because the platelets are being attacked, and so they will have nosebleeds, they'll have blood in their pee, they will have blood in their poop, they'll vomit up blood. These dogs, when it happens, it's not like guesswork. There is something clearly wrong.
Right.
Most of these dogs present on emergency. But let's talk a little bit.
Can survive, for those of you that are like in a live and dread. I mean, Cardiff's gone through 3 or 4 major, I guess you call it bouts or attacks, and he's survived them all.
Yes, and I will tell you right now, when a dog first comes in the crisis, we usually say it's about a 50-50 shot.
Wow.
So
that's terrible.
But once they get out of the crisis, you know, obviously there are steps along the way where the prognosis gets better and better.
Right,
better.
Right.
But this is, I think, the take-home messages here, especially at this time of year, when the ticks are starting to come out, the fleas are coming out, the vaccines are coming out at the clinic, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. So what I just described to you is what we call primary or idiopathic, meaning we don't really know what causes it, where the dog's immune system just goes crazy, all on its own volition. Maybe there's an environmental trigger. Who knows? We don't know. If we knew, we would try to control it.
But
there is, and it happens in people, and they don't know what happens in people either. So it's not just veterinary medicine being a step behind.
Interesting.
There are unknown triggers for the immune system, unknown, and it happens all the time. But there are conditions called secondary IMHA or ITP where there are triggers, known triggers. These include infectious diseases. So just think about it. You have a dog who gets bit by a tick, and maybe there is Rocky Mountain spotted fever or Lyme disease or Ehrlichia, one of these tick diseases. All the antibodies race to the system to kill off the invading bacteria. But in the process, they also target the red blood cells or the platelet.
And that can be one of the a side effect, I guess you could say, or one of the horrors of tick-borne disease.
How I describe it to my clients and my pet owners is his red blood cells got killed as an innocent bystander. It's like the drive-by shooting. The tick disease is what the immune system was trying to get.
Yes,
it got that, but it also got all this other
stuff. Oh, my Lord. So what is the – do you get transfusion?
Yeah, and we can, and we'll talk about some of that. But there are other things. So cancer, lymphomas, mast cell tumors, hemangiosarcomas, things we talk about a lot. If a dog has a cancer in his body, his immune system is trying to kill it. The immune system is trying to kill the cancer. And so – as an innocent bystander, sometimes the way we end up making a diagnosis of cancer somewhere is because this dog comes in with this hemolytic anemia.
Wow.
They come in and so that's why, like if I have a dog, because the typical age for the immune system to go wild is a young to middle-age dog. So in the 3 to 5 year time frame, that's a really common age for it to happen. So all of a sudden, if you've got a 10-year-old golden retriever who shows up at your doorstep with immune-mediated hemolytic anemia, the message is you best be doing some x-rays and ultrasound.
Right.
That dog could have a tumor somewhere, and that's a clue that there could be something going on. Or if you've got a hunting dog that all of a sudden acutely develops, you know, get him tested for tick disease because it could be. So the point is it's not just it is a diagnosis that we kind of back into. We make sure that they don't have infectious disease, that they don't have cancer. Vaccination is another thing that can serve as a trigger. When we put a vaccine into a dog, it is calling on it. You know, we're injecting little parts of viruses.
Right.
The immune system says, hey, I'm making antibodies. But sometimes we believe that a vaccine can trigger an immune-mediated disease because, again, it's part of the whole antibody system. And so there are many dogs that end up when they come in with the IMHA, they have a history of being vaccinated within the last 1 to 3 months.
Wow.
So
that goes to the issue of over-vaccination, when to vaccinate.
And also, let's just bring up, this is a great time of year to talk to your vet about doing titers.
Yes.
Like this year, can we run a titer and see if Muffy needs to have the rebooster of parvo or distemper or what have you? Because, you know, these are immune diseases are nothing trivial. I mean, they can be life-threatening. And so, again, the whole point is we're trying to be proactive. We don't want to give a dog more than what they need. If they don't
right.
need a distemper vaccine, let's not give it to them. Let's make sure that we are responsive to that. So this is a great time of year to make sure that, you know, we're talking to our vets about titers.
And I just want to say that VaxiCheck, which is mm-hmm. one of the sponsors on the Radio Pet Lady Network, has an in-office, really reliable test for those titers. And I guess you want to make sure that the titer is high so that you don't over-vaccinate. But if it's low, it means that the immune system might have to go haywire to prevent or protect against something, some exposure
right.
and get overstimulated
right.
by the disease it doesn't have protection for. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go back to this underlying issues that might trigger mm-hmm. the immune-mediated disease. We'll be right back.
This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado who has created many different low-dust litters for the health of all members of the family, cats or people with asthma and allergies. Precious Cat also makes litter for the special needs of many cats, from kitten-attract litter that helps youngsters develop good habits to cat-attract litter that helps those with out-of-litter box issues get back in the box. Precious Cat's Touch of the Outdoors litter provides environmental and enrichment, bringing to indoor cats the natural scent of the outdoors from field grasses grown in their own fields. This show is also brought to you by Meow Space, a clear ventilated enclosure that can be a one cat feeding space, a litter box station, or even a safe place to nap, designed so that only one cat with a unique access device can enter the see-through box. Meow Space is made in the USA to solve out-of-litter box problems and individualized feeding needs in multi-cat households. Big enough for large cats to do their business or small dogs to eat their own food in peace, Meow Space benefits the whole family because it also keeps dogs and small children out of the litter box too. Go to meowspace.biz. That's meowspace.biz to see for yourself.
Dr. Donna, just to finish on the issue of the titer level for how much those antibodies that you spoke about, mm-hmm. how much your protective system is on guard for the common diseases of dogs, you don't want to have not enough, right? I mean, having low titer, having not enough antibody
right.
protection, that in itself sounds like it could create a problem.
Well, the problem that we see there is if a dog comes into contact with a dog infected by parvovirus and he has a low titer, you know, the concern is, will he actually he will be exposed to parvovirus and could succumb and, you know, and develop the disease. And so, you know, as we've talked about before, titers are not the entire look at the immune system.
Right.
And dogs who have been well vaccinated for years and years, you know, there's a whole other arm of the immune system that could come into play in a dog like that. So, again, if you get a low titer on a titer test, it is a conversation that must be had with a veterinarian, because let me tell you the different situation. If I'm titering a 2-year-old dog who had his puppy series and only one booster, a low titer at 2 years old is bad. More, is more worrisome to me
right.
than if it is a dog who had the puppy series, the one-year booster, was vaccinated again at 4 years of age, was vaccinated again at 7 years
right.
of age, and here we are at 13 with a low parvo titer. I'm not worried about that dog.
Right. He's gone through most of his life. He's been well protected.
Exactly. So it's not cookbook anymore. It's an individualized
right.
program. You know, it is
right.
saying what, and it's saying what is this dog's risk? What is this dog's lifestyle? Does he sit in a crate at home or only on his like lavish pillow at home when he's not coming into contact? Or is this dog going to dog park, dog
right.
daycare, where there's
right.
puppies? There's going to be parvo exposure. It's all a conversation piece to prevent over-vaccination. We can't simplify it too much because it does depend on the lifestyle of the dog, the risk of the dog, the age of the dog, the previous vaccine history.
But I'm also understanding, if I'm understanding this antibody system and the whole issue of immune-mediated disease, that if your dog wasn't fully protected, there are people that have become kind of intensely anti-vaccine
yes.
for their children and for their dogs, and it comes out of maybe misinformation, maybe disinformation,
mm-hmm.
maybe hysteria. Who can say?
Right.
Certainly science doesn't say that vaccines have caused autism in children, and yet
right.
the people who hold to it are convinced that there's a
right.
there's a cabal afoot. But where dogs are concerned, there are even so-called, and I do mean so-called responsible breeders who choose not to vaccinate the litter on the idea that they're going to have litter the whole litter will protect each other
right.
and cell shedding and stuff. If your dog doesn't have enough immunity against these diseases, either because the vaccine didn't take at the
mm-hmm.
right age or you never had it. Am I right that if the disease were to take hold of the dog, that its immune system would attack not only the disease, but it could potentially attack its red blood cells and other and organs the way you described?
Yes.
That its own immune system could become out of
problem,
control?
Yeah. Any infectious disease, you know, and it's not as common with parvo and distemper.
I see.
I will be
okay.
honest. It's more common with, like, tick-borne diseases.
I see.
Those kinds
okay.
of things. But any infectious disease can trigger the immune system into an overactive state. Yes.
So immune-mediated diseases, when you say idiopathic. So I had this friend, has this darling miniature schnauzer that she got from rescue.
Yep.
Gorgeous, darling dog. And she suddenly got incredibly sick and weak and ill,
mm-hmm.
and they went off to the emergency vet who kept her in the ICU for, I don't know if it was 5 days or
yeah.
a week or longer. The dog was on death's door. All they said was immune-mediated disease.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a diagnosis?
It is
idiopathic quite normal?
Yes, that is our most common presentation, is that in these young and this idiopathic disease can occur in any dog breed, but there are clear breed predispositions. The biggest one is the American Cocker Spaniel, and
wow.
they're 12% more likely than other breeds to develop it. The other at-risk breeds, though, are the miniature schnauzer,
oh my,
collies, English Springer Spaniels, poodles, Bichons, Maltese, miniature
wow.
pinschers, Old English sheepdogs. So, I mean, there are well-recognized breeds that, you know, when I see a Cocker Spaniel that shows up on my door with anemia, I'm like, okay, it's probably IMHA because
I see.
It's common in certain breeds. But it can happen in any dog breed. And the way we make the diagnosis is to rule out other possibilities. We do their tick testing. It's negative.
Yep.
We do x-rays and ultrasound. There's no cancer.
Right.
We make sure. Now, these are the big things that people overlook sometimes. We make sure that these dogs have not taken any recent antibiotics. Penicillins, cefalexin, those kind of antibiotics, trimethoprim sulfa, carprofen, so Rimadyl, recent vaccines, because drugs can act as foreign invaders. You're putting foreign substances
wow.
in your body. It's entering your bloodstream. The immune system is like, ooh, I don't like the look of those antibiotics. And they can.
Wow.
So antibiotics are a known trigger in humans as well as dogs to trigger the immune system into an IMHA.
Wow.
So,
all right, we're taking another quick break. When we come back, I want to ask, why did this dog who survived, thank God, Nikki, why did she wind up being an insulin-dependent diabetic as a result? That's the part that I'm fascinated by. We'll be right back.
The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test to determine which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. Spot Platinum can detect allergies for which they can make a USDA-approved oral spray custom-tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon.
We're back. Dr. Donna, is it common to then develop maybe something other than diabetes, but diabetes after one of these attacks or bouts, or is that weird?
No, that is uncommon. So a few scenarios, and obviously I don't know about this particular dog.
Right.
So remember we talked about there are many causes, potential causes of IMHA, meaning secondary, like it truly something was going on. One of those somethings is a dog can develop pancreatitis. Dogs with pancreatitis, inflammation of their pancreas is where their digestive enzymes as well as their insulin comes from. Dogs with severe pancreatitis can end up with an IMHA situation. And then because their pancreas was hit so badly, some of those dogs will become diabetic. So possibility, I don't know if that was going on in this dog. The other thing is the immune system can attack any organ. So say this dog did have an IMHA, so immune system is killing all the red blood cells. Well, it can just as easily kill the pancreas. It can kill the kidneys.
Oh, my.
It can kill anything it wants. It can attack anything it wants. So if the pancreas was affected by an immune attack, then lose his insulin-secreting ability. And then the third possibility is these dogs generally go on to the first-line drug usually administered is steroids, prednisone. And so prednisone can be insulin antagonistic.
Uh-oh.
And so, but again, for a dog to develop diabetes on prednisone is very uncommon.
Okay.
But these are all potential scenarios
right,
of what could
right.
happen. But no, absolutely not. The development of diabetes as a sequela to IMHA is not common at all.
Okay, so just to wrap up, if your dog after some incredibly serious illness becomes diabetic, that's not like the type 1 diabetic dog that we've talked about, which is born with a predisposition to diabetes, and dogs don't become type 2 diabetics from food, right, or
mm-hmm.
obesity.
Right.
So what kind of diabetes is this called, and could she ever recover from it, or she has to be on insulin forever?
So there are other forms of diabetes that are not commonly talked about, and those are ones that are caused by things like pancreatitis, pancreatic tumors. There are other things that can cause diabetes, but we don't type them. I mean, technically they're like type 3. But it's not – so type 1 is – and now, again, the miniature schnauzer has a genetic predisposition to becoming diabetic.
So it may have been a coincidence.
So
maybe the dog was on the verge of diabetes anyway.
He may have had it in his DNA that he's going to become diabetic at
right.
some point. Then he gets put on a steroid. If his pancreas
right.
was under a hit, it doesn't mean that he is not necessarily going to recover. I've had some dogs become diabetic after a bad bout of pancreatitis, and then it resolves. But it can resolve.
I would love to do a show on can you ever get off insulin as a dog. I mean, I think that would be great to do a show on that because they're also so concerned about food
insulin. I will tell you, in general, the answer is no.
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 Okay.
Often, unless if a dog is very ill with like a pancreatitis, which is the smaller subset of diabetic dogs for sure.
Right. Well, this is really interesting. I hope none of you gets an immune-mediated disease because then you wind up so frustrated, your dog's so sick, and they say, we don't really know. And it turns out that nobody knows. So it's just good to know that it's not like someone didn't do their good work in medical school, right, Dr. Donna? There's
Correct.
Just some mysteries that remain mysterious.
Right.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Dr. Donna, for explaining that. I know that Nikki's mom will be glad to get this added information. Thank
Take care.
You all for listening.
Yep. Bye-bye.